Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Do you have the time to listen to me whine about nothing and everything all at once? I am one of those melodramatic fools, neurotic to the bone, no doubt about it.
Thank you for the opportunity to present HB 1521 today. Members, the Safety and Private Spaces Act ensures the safety of all Floridians by requiring the use of common decency standards in private spaces. This is a simple, common sense bill that requires public and private sector covered entities and domestic violence shelters that maintain a restroom or changing facility to have restrooms separately designated for males and females, or a unisex restroom or changing facility.
So how do you think this is going to go? How do you think HB 1521 that says males with male pieces should go into male bathrooms and females with female pieces should go into female bathrooms and there should be no mixing of the two, except if you have a unisex bathroom dedicated to a single person, it's perfectly fine for anybody to use that, with a couple of exceptions. But this is in schools, this is in public accommodations, this is in shelters, this is in service providers, this is in healthcare facilities. And female means that you are a reproductive role of producing eggs, and male means you're a reproductive role of producing sperm. There you go. That's the bill. All good and done. 3 minutes, we're through here. No. No, it obviously did not go like that. And there's really a part one and a part two to all of this, and we're going to get to as much of it as we can. But let me lay this out for you. The conversation around this bill on Monday in the Commerce Committee in the Florida House of Representatives has made international news. For all the wrong reasons. Let's just put it that way. Let me give you, first question you want to ask is, well, is there a need to have this law? Which, by the way, does not specify trans. This law is about everything. It doesn't specifically have to do with trans at all. Representative Benjamin asks Rep. Plakin,
why aren't current criminal statutes enough?
Currently, it's not a law. I mean, it's not a crime for a heterosexual male or any male to go into a women's changing facility or a women's restroom and stay there.
Wow. You know, I guess what the law would have been, you kind of wonder, but there's nothing to prevent men going into the women's room and women going into the men's room. That's a problem, because the premise of those things is that you deserve the ability to be with people who are not going to be, you know, threatening, menacing, leering at, you know, because you're in a state of semi-dress in those situations. And, you know, you want to be around other men or around other women. That's a very normal, healthy human thing to want. And, of course, you know, having people with the wrong bits and pieces puts everybody's right to that kind of privacy in jeopardy. Okay, so here we go, including more serious issues about, you know, assault and threats and all of that. I want to give you a sampling of the opponents, just so you get the kind of the tenor of the conversation.
Which one of you is going to be the first one to volunteer to be the pediatric penis police?
Who's going to check all of our panties? Are y'all going to check my panties? Who is going to dare go check my daughter's pull-up?
I feel like panty raid, you know, like somehow that ought to be part of this.
My name's Lilith Smith. I'm non-binary, and I'm 12 years old. And it's none of your damn business what is in my pants.
All right, Rain Johnson.
Welcome back to the Genital Gestapo. Today we're playing Who's the Panty Police? He's checking people's genitals to allow them to enter the bathroom. Is it going to be cops? Teachers? Are we going to start hiring people to stand outside every bathroom in the state of Florida?
All right, and then Caleb Hobson. Let's see, is this the one? Yeah.
I've legally changed my gender marker from female to male. It says male on my driver's license. If I am legally male, how would they prove that I am transgender? Are the police going to make me pull my pants down?
A lot of pants pulling down, a lot of panty raids, a lot of Gestapos for the genitals. Okay, so here's one thing. A couple of things before we get into this is the part one. Okay, trust me, the part two. Wait for it. But seriously, the part one, though, is there really is a problem here, okay, particularly when it comes to trans people, because where should they go? You know, if you've got somebody that's got a female body but a beard and looks like a dude, which bathroom should that person go to? Can't go to the female bathroom. That doesn't make any sense. Can't have bearded people walking around in the bathroom with the, and can't, you know, male bathroom doesn't make any sense there either. So really, the answer is, do you allow trans people to go wherever they want? Or do you say, you know what, really, neither of these is the appropriate fit. You ought to have your own bathroom. You ought to have a unisex single bathroom. See, I think that's the better answer. And that's what this bill says, because that's what it provides is, you know, or you should go into a single-sex bathroom like that. I don't even think going into the bathroom of your birth really makes a lot of sense for many of these people. And that's part of the problem. The bill's got flaws, okay? The bill definitely has flaws. And enforcement is definitely one of the flaws. The critics are right about that. That's not why this made news. During the hour and a half or so conversation that this bill took on Monday, and yes, I watched it all because I wanted to know context. I always want to know context around a news story. And in this case, the context comes from Representative Webster Barnaby, who made some comments. I'll share them in a moment. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Somebody said they like my landmark of caches. It's a liquor store. It's a 98. It's the same area as yesterday that was tied up, Windhaven Beach. I mean, going through past Navarre Bakery and Creamery, Highway Retreat, all these places, Navarre Beach Camping Resort. All of the turnoffs, these are all stop and go and all very, very slow this morning. And about, like I said, it starts right around where the cash is, that liquor store is, maybe just a little bit east of that. And this is eastbound 98 in Navarre, almost backed up to the causeway again this morning. And again, the only slowdown I'm seeing. So certainly if you have a traffic tip, please text it in, 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So back to the Florida House of Representatives, the Commerce Committee. I think it was Commerce. Anyway, it doesn't really matter for our purposes. Webster Barnaby, wading through this entire conversation to have his comments. He's from Daytona Beach, Volusia County. That is Volusia, right? Anyway, Daytona Beach. Daytona Beach, right? Anyway, so he wants to make his comments.
I want to commend the sponsor for the great courage you've shown, Representative Plakin, in bringing this very difficult bill. You know, to all the folks that are in the audience that consider themselves gender dysphoria, cis, I don't know what all that means. I really don't know what all that means.
So one note is when you're not sure what all these things mean, it could be a moment to just vote yes or no. But no, that's not where we're going with this. Ready? Here's part one of the part two. Trust me, there's more.
I'm looking at society today. And it's like I'm watching an X-Men movie with people that, when you watch the X-Men movies for Marvel Comics, it's like we have mutants living among us on planet Earth. And, you know, some people don't like that, but that's a fact.
Fact might be a bit of a stretch, but mutants in an X-Men movie is the transgender folks. By the way, just as a side note, anybody who ever read the X-Men growing up understood that actually mutants in the X-Men were meant to be a stand-in for all of the sort of outcasts, unpopular, marginalized. You know, that was always the way. Jews, that's why the Magneto story is so interesting, because having grown up through the Holocaust and then taking on the view of going against, right? I'm just saying, if you know the X-Men comic series, you would actually understand that there's a lot more parallel between, for example, gays and lesbians and others, you know, black people, for example, and the mutants that are portrayed as heroes, right? Obviously in the story. But back to Webster Barnaby, who obviously didn't read a lot of X-Men comics growing up. Here he continues, tragically.
We have people that live among us today on planet Earth that are happy to display themselves as if they were mutants from another planet. This is the planet Earth, where God created men, male, and women, female. I'm a proud Christian conservative Republican. I'm not on the fence. Not on the fence.
Anytime you find yourself in a public hearing saying,
this is the planet Earth,
you might be heading down the wrong path. But okay, here we go. So he says this is a bill about public safety. This is about preventing assaults, and therefore it's a good bill to protect people. And if he had stopped there and only said the mutants comment, he might have been sort of okay. But he decided to keep going.
I'm not on the fence. Not one bit. And I'm offended that people can come before this committee and try to intimidate us and try to strike fear into us. It's time to push back.
All right, you ready? Candy, am I wrong for asking them to be prepared for this?
Be prepared.
Be prepared.
I know.
You if you haven't seen the headlines, just hold on to your steering wheel. You ready?
There is so much darkness in our world today. So much evil in our world today. And so many people who are afraid to address the evil, the dysphoria, the dysfunction. I'm not afraid to address the dysphoria or the dysfunction. The Lord rebuke you, Satan, and all of your demons and all of your imps who come and parade before us. That's right, I called you demons and imps who come and parade before us and pretend that you are part of this world. So I'm saying my righteous indignation is stirred. I am sick and tired of this. I'm not going to put up with it. You can test me and try to take me on, but I promise you I'll win every time. Let's all vote up on this bill. Thank you.
So, you know how a person can say some things that you might sort of tend to think are okay or valid or appropriate, and then throw something else in along with it, and you're like, ooh, oh, no, no, no. He does come out later on the floor of the House, and he apologizes. He says, I would like to apologize to the trans community for referring to you as demons, because that's what he did. He said they were demons and imps and mutants, and that's what's gotten him into, you know, a lot of criticism. So, by the way, Representative Chase Tremont came on afterwards and said this. He's another Republican, happens to be a white guy. Webster Barnaby's a black guy.
You know, I had a different route that I was going to take from this prior, but, you know, I'm also a Christian man, and I just want to say to some of the folks in here who shared their testimony, I appreciated you coming up. You're not an evil being. I believe that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, and I want you to live your life as well.
So you might be familiar with the concept in Christianity of compassion, look at the Bible story, right? Jesus casts out demons. Demons are real. Christians believe in demons, okay? But he casts them out, and he does service to the people that he casts them out of. So even if you go down the road of believing in these things, and I do, I'm a Christian, I take the Bible seriously, compassion for, love for, willingness to work for, to die for the people that you think are on the wrong path or might be influenced by evil, like, that's missing from the comments. Even from a very conservative Christian point of view, what Webster Barnaby is missing is that stuff, right? So those are important. That's where Chase Tremont's comments come in. You know, he's like, this is a public safety bill. I don't hate you. You know, even if I think you're horribly wrong, even if I think you're terribly misguided in what you're trying to do to our society, I still love you. I still care about you. I'm still trying to be of service to you as well. So, yeah, that happened. And I know some people, and I've seen some of the texts coming, you know, preach, brother. And they mean for him, not me. You know, so it is incumbent upon those of us who take these matters very seriously to say them in an effective way, a loving way, a gospel faithful way. And sometimes you just, you know, you need to control your tongue a little bit more. That's the advice I have. 724 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
Excuses are destroying your success. Luke 14 records the devastating effects of being an excuse maker. One man said that he couldn't attend the master's supper because he had to prove oxen, while another said he had purchased land that he must go see. Yet a third man had just married a wife and therefore he couldn't attend. Their excuses were cloaked in half-truths, nonsense, and self-will. As a result, the master invited the poor, halt, lame, and blind to his dinner. The self-willed people rejected the supper, but the desperate-hearted people received the supper. In the seats of the original invitees sat poor, halt, lame, and blind. If excuse makers don't want to enjoy the benefits that God provides, someone else will. You can choose your excuses, but you don't get to choose the consequences. So beware of being an excuse maker.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
Join Whitney Lucas and Sheriff Chip Simmons on the Pensacola Expert Panel as they discuss cops, cars, and crawfish, an event at Five Flags Speedway. All the proceeds from this event will benefit the Escambia County Sheriff's Foundation and their mission to support the heroes of the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. Don't miss Whitney and Sheriff Chip Simmons this Friday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. I'm the president of New South Window Solutions. What I'd like people to understand about our company is what's unique about us. We manufacture, we install, we guarantee. We go out of our way to make it easy. The most important thing that New South offers is very simple, absolutely true factory direct pricing. From our factory, to our truck, to your driveway. Most other window companies are either resellers, a wholesaler, a contractor, a distributor, a sales organization. We eliminate those levels of marketing, so you're paying true factory direct pricing.
Going on now, save 35% off factory direct windows and doors. Call 1-800-NEW-WINDOWS.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
If I had my time again, I would do it all the same.
Good morning, 727 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Let's go straight to Candy with traffic.
Yeah, ahead, somebody asked what I was eating earlier. It was a very dry cookie. So that's funny.
We make it's bad like, choices no, 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 on the air. We just
I
do.
I know. Well, yeah, I should pay attention. Okay, we were watching two areas yesterday. It's the same thing today. 29, although the lanes aren't blocked southbound, but right at 95, again, near Porky's Pizza and Grocery Advantage, Molino / Cantonment. Accident there. Again, that's on Highway 29 and 95. The other two, are on Highway 98 in Navarre. And again, the closest landmark I know to give is Cash's. I know it's a liquor store, but everybody knows that. It's been there forever. 98, and this is eastbound Highway 98. And it is backed up again almost to the Navarre Beach Causeway. The turnoff to the beach camping resort looks like is where it ends, but it's very stop and go in that area. 98 eastbound again backed up. Certainly, if you have a traffic tip, please text it in if you would. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. David Wayne now in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The U.S. has seen about 32,000 fewer legal abortions than normal since the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade 9 months ago. That's according to new analysis from the Society of Family Planning. There were about 5,000 fewer abortions recorded each month. That's about a 6% drop. Officials in Llano County, Texas, are now considering shutting down their county's public library system after a federal judge ordered banned books to be returned to the shelves. A federal court judge ordered that library system to return a dozen books to the shelves after seven people had sued to have them removed. And in the order of everything has to be a day, today is National Grilled Cheese Day.
Food historians say the grilled cheese sandwich became popular in the 20s when restaurant dining became a thing. In the 30s, the mighty grilled cheese became an inexpensive depression meal. The California Dairy Board says for the best cheese pull, use a mix of cheddar and American cheese. Butter on the outside, mayo on the inside, and grilled to golden perfection. Some pair it with soup or dip it in ketchup, and fries always make a good side. It's simple, it's humble, and it's America's favorite sandwich. Happy National Grilled Cheese Day. I'm Bree Tennis, NBC News Radio.
The secret really is in the cheese.
It really is. Also, Bree is telling me what to put on grilled cheese. That's funny. And no mayo, I'm sorry. David, thanks so much for the update. 729 on News Radio 92.3.
It started to sound like Handmaid's Tale before that whole grilled cheese thing happened.
Exactly. Oh, and somebody sent us my favorite comment of the day. You ready for this?
Uh-huh.
My favorite comment of the day is, gosh, all of this stuff makes going to the bathroom more confusing than Meguiar's ever could.
Now, that's an accurate statement.
That's a win right there. Oh, that is a win. By the way, just for one moment, okay, because I know a lot of you are, you know, Christians, conservative, take the Bible seriously. A couple things to keep in mind. If you look, Jesus in the New Testament, way harsher towards the Pharisees than he is towards sinners or demon-possessed people or demon-influenced people or any of that. Just one thing to consider. Also, just as a side note, one of the very first people in Acts that gets evangelized by Philip is the Ethiopian eunuch. What's a eunuch? One of the first targets. That was an including of that person into the society of God's faithful by that specific missionary mission. Just to think about.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Biden in Belfast saying preserving peace in Northern Ireland is a priority for both Democrats and Republicans. He's there commemorating the Good Friday Peace Accord that ended the bloody conflict. South Carolina Senator Tim Scott announces he's forming a presidential exploratory committee.
If the radical left gets their way, millions more families will be trapped in failing schools, crime-ridden neighborhoods, and crushing inflation. Not on my watch.
Scott is the only black Republican in the Senate. He's in Iowa this morning, New Hampshire tomorrow. The toughest rules ever announced today on tailpipe emissions from the EPA. The president's goal for consumers to buy electric vehicles. The new standards for light-duty vehicles include passenger cars, sports utility vehicles, and pickup trucks applied to the model years 2027 to 2032. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 News Radio 92.3 right now. It is 64 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Looks like a pretty nice morning out there right now, although we do have a chance of some rain, especially as we get more towards the overnight hours and tomorrow. We'll get more on that with Brooke Richardson in just a couple of minutes in our Channel 3 forecast. The Senate Transportation Committee meeting today. They're discussing the Interstate Safety Act, which would crack down on drivers who camp out in the left lane. The bill would make it illegal for drivers to drive in the left lane on highways with a posted speed of 65 miles per hour.
The goal is to keep that a passing lane. So you go into that lane to get by somebody, then you get back into the other lane.
The bill's sponsor, Keith Perry, there. He says left lane drivers force other people to illegally pass on the right, and that leads to accidents. The bill does include a few exceptions for emergency vehicles, construction, and HOV lanes. Embattled Pensacola contractor Jesse Lacoste now facing more charges. He was arrested in Escambia County on larceny charges and released minutes later on $50,000 bond yesterday. He's been arrested now three times in Escambia, twice in Santa Rosa, once in Okaloosa County. His arrest comes 1 week after his brother-in-law, Matthew Banks, was indicted by an Escambia County grand jury accused of stealing over $5 million. The city of Milton's been awarded a big grant to the tune of $10 million. Yesterday, representatives from the Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration were there.
Established under the president's bipartisan infrastructure law, which was enacted by Congress, we are awarding grants to community-owned utilities to repair, rehabilitate, and replace older legacy natural gas distribution pipes in underserved urban and rural communities across the United States.
That's Alan Mayberry, the associate administrator. He says upgrading cast iron legacy pipes is especially vital here in our area because they can easily fill with water during a hurricane. The city of Milton, one of 33 recipients chosen for the program out of 179 that applied. A person's been executed for a non-murder crime for the first time in the U.S. since 1964. If the Florida Republicans get their way, that might change.
Lawmakers appear ready to pass a proposal that would allow the death penalty for people who commit sexual batteries on children under age 12. Bill sponsor Jonathan Martin.
If an individual rapes a 11-year-old or 10-year-old or 2-year-old or 5-year-old, they should be subject to the death penalty.
The House is scheduled Thursday to take up its version of the bill. The Senate version was approved yesterday by the Rules Committee. Thanks to conservative majorities on the Florida and U.S. Supreme Court, Florida Republicans have been bold in the proposal, even though prior rulings have said it's unconstitutional to execute defendants in rape cases. Joe Ford, News Radio 92.3.
A California man's pled guilty to his role in an Orlando art scandal. Federal prosecutors announced yesterday that North Hollywood auctioneer Michael Barsman has admitted to making fake works of art he claimed had been made by the late Jean-Michel Basquiat. The artworks were on display at the Orlando Museum of Art last year. You may remember hearing about them being seized by the FBI. Museum CEO Aaron DeGroft ended up losing his job. over that scandal. It's 7:35 right now at News Radio 92.3, and Candy's got a look at our traffic on the fives.
Sure. We're still watching that accident on 98, and this is, again, that whole Windhaven Beach area. There's two accidents, and the closest cross-reference I have to give you is Cash's, the liquor store that and dancing place, I guess, sometimes, but that's the place everybody knows. This is 98 eastbound, and again, just a couple of accidents. GN Express, it's close to that as well, but it looks like it's slowing things down and slowing things down all the way back to maybe Fowler Lane and almost to the causeway again in Navarre. So caution there. Another accident, same place as yesterday, though not tying things up like it was yesterday, on Highway 29 and 95 near Porky's Pizza. So it looks like that may have been moved off to the side. This brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Their family serving your family since 1929. More info and a free pest or termite quote. Visit Knox Pest. That's with a K. K-N-O-X. KnoxPest.com. Knox them out. It's traffic on the 5. And if you have traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We're going to be seeing a cloudy day today with a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the later part of the day. High today near 75 degrees, low near 65. For Thursday, showers are likely, 90% chance of heavy rainfall throughout the entire day, high near 72. Thursday night temperatures dropping near 64. As you go into Friday, rain will fade away and we are going to be seeing temperatures warm up near 79 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, 64 in Pensacola, 64 in Gulf Breeze, 61 in Milton. Your next news at 8. Breaking news anytime. News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. Shares of WW International jumped to a one-month high after Goldman Sachs upgraded the stock to buy, expecting the weight loss services company's entry into the obesity drug business to help drive a turnaround. Goldman lifted its target price on the stock to $13 from $3.80. It closed yesterday at $6.55. Weight Watchers, which offers weight loss and weight management programs, entered the obesity drug prescription business last month with its acquisition of telehealth platform Sequence. Innovative Eyewear has launched a new iOS Android app called Lucid. The wearer can use microphones built into the company's glasses to ask ChatGPT questions and hear the responses through stereo speakers. The app works with many other hearables, including AirPods. The app may also be used via a streamlined visual interface on any smartphone to enhance accessibility. That's Your Money Now.
The Pete Moore Imports lineup of Volkswagen crossovers and SUVs will fit your lifestyle and your particular budget, whether a Taos, Tiguan, or Atlas. Pete Moore offers you smart choices, starting with the 2023 VW Taos. This sporty crossover is a joy to drive and is packed with technology. Right now, a 2023 Taos SE is discounted to start from $31,439. The 2023 Tiguan SE comes with third-row seating, modern looks, and cargo capacity to hold plenty. It's discounted to start from $32,899. And for the ultimate comfort and more than enough room for your family, friends, and furry companions, the VW Atlas is built for adventure. The 23 Atlas SE with technology, now from $41,599. Pete Moore Imports has the selection and prices you've been searching for. They're not in Car City, but at 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Sale price before tax, title, and dealer fee. See dealer for details.
A better air filter on your air conditioner is nice, but it isn't enough. It takes a lot more than that to clean the air that you breathe. This is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. On Wednesday's Pep Talk, we'll talk about how to keep pollen, bacteria, and other pollutants out of your lungs. Remember what I always say, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Let's talk Wednesday morning at 9:30 on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Florida Blue invites you to spring into wellness this Saturday, 10 to 2 at your local Florida Blue Center on Airport and 9th Avenue. Enjoy spring giveaways while supplies last. Event is free and open to the public. You may still qualify for special enrollment if you've recently moved or gotten married or have a new job. An exclusive Florida Blue agent can tell you all the life events that qualify. Visit Florida Blue Center at 9th Avenue and Airport for more information.
Limit one gift per household while supplies last.
Hey, Pensacola. News Radio 92.3 has it all. Pensacola Morning News, Pep Talk, Pensacola Right Now, Brian Kilmeade, Dave Ramsey. Local news, Fox News, WEAR News, traffic on the fives. Florida State football, election coverage, hurricane coverage, breaking news and weather coverage. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:40 here on News Radio 92.3. Mayor D.C. Reeves always joins us at this time on a Wednesday. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. Hey, first question, just a fact I don't know the answer to. Milton announced yesterday about a $10 million grant that they got from the feds for natural gas pipeline refurbishment and upgrades. Obviously, with Pensacola Energy being a city property, an industry, are we in line for, do you know, is there any money coming to Pensacola?
Yeah, I don't know if it's within that specific bucket, but actually, coincidentally enough, we're in budget time right now, and I'm trying to learn as much about the budget as I can. So I've sat in every one of our first department meetings with administration, and learned. Yeah, I've actually fired an email out to some folks on the federal side about $26-28 million, somewhere in that range, grant that we're crossing our fingers for. So I don't know if it's the same bucket or not, but I'm really excited about the trajectory of Pensacola Energy. Honestly, if you look at the how much service we're putting in and how much we're growing, it's really been amazing. So they're doing a great job out there, and certainly we'll advocate for any opportunities to help modernize our service.
Absolutely. And I know Pensacola Energy has done a lot of this, but I know there's still a lot to be done. I mean, it's a very old system, and some of the stuff they have to deal with can be problematic at times, like the capacity to deliver to businesses downtown because of ancient infrastructure that won't handle the additional pressure and, that kind of stuff.
Right.
One of the things I wanted to ask you about, I had a lot of questions from people that they wanted me to ask you. Here's one. That's not really new traffic, but it seems like there's more traffic now on Gregory Street because of the bridge going over to I-110. And I will tell you that from my own experience, having to cross sometimes to go from the south side to the north side or turn onto, and I see it with pedestrians, it just seems like there's a lot more conflict in traffic and pedestrian activity on Gregory Street these days. Are there any plans to alleviate that? I know this is a very complicated thing to try to address, but anything that you've got in mind that might help that problem?
Yeah, and look, I agree. I mean, this is one of those things when we talk about, we spent centuries on this planet designing for the pedestrian, and we spent about 100 years designing for the car, and we see what we have to untangle in some issues when you have that many lanes moving that quickly, it becomes one of the major issues. Totally get that there. That's a tough point. And of course it's stuck between federal interstates and on ramps, and
right.
That limits your ability to do things as well. And so, I can tell you on Wright Street, about a block north there, where there's that funky intersection right there at Alchemy's, with the train tracks coming through.
Yeah.
We are looking at some traffic calming measures there. That's a little bit easier to tackle. Right now it's got three lanes, and it doesn't take nearly the traffic that Gregory does. But what we hope is, to start having a better east-west connector for pedestrians and bicyclists, and that sometimes we don't get to pick which street it is. Unfortunately, that makes the most sense. So I'm really excited about that. It's actually kind of a public-private partnership to add a little parking there, go down to less lanes as you get to Tarragona Street there on right. So what we hope is, while it may not be exactly that street today or tomorrow, that we are actively trying to alleviate and continue to make the city improve in its pedestrian and bicyclist friendliness, I would say.
Yeah, and look, I know nobody's excited to talk about something like, putting a light in on, Gregory or something like that, or God forbid a pedestrian overpass or whatever, but it just, you think about that scenario and it's hard to come up with really good solutions. I understand the challenge. This week, in fact, tomorrow, there's a meeting to do the call for artists to come find out what they might be looking at to do the welcome sign, right?
Yeah, and just a little background on that. I came into office, and this had already been moving, and there was a conversation about just designing one or two things and, having the mayor pick one. And I don't know, I put up a lot of large scale art at my old businesses and went through that process. And, you know, I'm kind of curious. We had a lot of talented, creative people in this community. I want to see what ideas they have before, you know, I just pick something, you know, and considering the fact that 100,000 people a day will see this sign, I thought this was a good opportunity for there to be some community engagement. And so with that comes complication. Look, I mean, you can't just run a piece of art out there or run a statue out there and, you know, the first sign of wind, it falls over, right? So there's a lot of different pieces to this in terms of what's it going to go on. You know, we got to have our engineering department make sure we construct it correctly, that it meets FDOT guidelines. So, you know, self-inflicted, we've signed up for kind of a complex thing.
Yeah.
So what we thought would be the best remedy to this is to say, all right, let's all get in the same room. You know, let's have artists get in here. We'll have our engineers there. We'll have city staff there and kind of be able to talk through and really manage expectations as well. You know, you may design something, but it may not mean that necessarily that artist is going to make 100% of it by hand on site. You know, they might have to be handled in a different way. And so we don't want to give unrealistic expectations. You know, one of the questions, are we going to pay artists? The answer is yes. Now, can we pay them out of FDOT money or do we have to pay them with our own, you know, city money? Well, we'll work that out. But, you know, now automatically you don't really say that in the perception that we aren't going to pay artists. Well, that's just not true. I would never do that. And so we're trying to myth bust and kind of, you know, set expectations for everybody. But I still think it's worth it. You know, it's worth, having, because it's going to be something that, you know, if done correctly, is going to be an iconic piece of entry to our city.
I love that.
I think it's worth the effort.
I love the focus on aesthetics. I love the idea that, you know, you didn't just take either the easy way out or the simple, whatever you prefer way out, or, you know, God forbid you didn't do like the ECUA water tower with ECUA on it. You know, you were thinking about better alternatives,
right,
you know, for welcoming people. I'm glad that it's happening. Anyway, that's tomorrow if people are interested. Hey, hang on for me for just a second, DC. Let's talk to Candy with Traffic on the Fives.
Highway 98 eastbound in Navarre. It is backed up. The same area, too, the whole area of Windhaven Beach, just like yesterday. And just like yesterday, another accident. Also, Molino / Cantonment near Porky's Pizza and Grocery Advantage at 95 and 29, though there's nothing blocking it. It's just very slow in that area. If you have a traffic tip, certainly text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. You know, speaking of, public art, which I'm a big fan of, I love streetscapes and murals. And, in fact, I actually started a Facebook group called Just Murals of Pensacola for people to share these kind of things. I was talking to somebody, another question that came from a listener, it asked me, Miami, of course, is amazing street art and mural art, and even has dedicated spaces, which I've seen elsewhere, like in Washington, D.C., just whole spaces that are dedicated to, not graffiti, but, you know, just public art. Is there anything like that that we could try to do in Pensacola that would be almost like graffiti bridge, you know, next evolution kind of thing?
Yeah, you know, I think about the CBD, Central Business District in New Orleans, did something similar to this, where they kind of went and identified walls, be it on their own city buildings or on, you know, private partners that were willing to do that and kind of donate a wall that might be facing a parking lot and, and beautify. I'm certainly a huge supporter of that. And we've actually had, you know, very preliminary conversations about how do we inventory, you know, what would be available, but do it at scale, right? So not just say, hey, we found one business owner who would give us this one wall and we do something, but it would be kind of cool to say, hey, we've got six or seven walls and how do we handle that? You know, do we pay for materials or we get private businesses to donate to make it worth, you know, the artist's time? I philosophically very, very much in support of that. I think that it brings, again, a uniqueness. I actually went to there's a city called Valparaiso, Chile. I went in January, and that's what they, by happenstance, became known for was.
Yeah.
So now graffiti artists from all over the world come and basically tag, you know, with permission, almost every wall in the city. And I'm not saying we're going to go to that extreme, but just I think it adds a uniqueness, like Wynwood you mentioned in Miami. I love that kind of stuff too. So, we haven't gotten anything substantial going on that, but we've had some very preliminary conversations, what-if conversations.
Oh, that's
about
cool.
That, and that's certainly something I'd love to see through.
Somebody texted in and said, oh my God, DC's already been thinking about it. How cool. See, I love that. I love when I ask you a thing and you're like, yeah, we're already working on that, Andrew. Simmer down. No, so that's great. I would love to see it. Hey, one last quick thing before the lightning round. This is probably not fair to try to jam it in here, but we keep not getting to it. You wrote an obituary for the first black mayor of Pensacola, Salvador Pons. It's part of a whole series that the PNJ is going to be publishing on obituaries for famous black Pensacolians who never really got that kind of treatment in their time. How cool was that for you to write that?
Yeah, it was awesome. And with a lot of help, from Adrian Walker in our office. And because frankly, on the cursory, trying to get as much research as I could done, as I mentioned in the obituary, in that time period, there is not much left. So a lot of help from UWF and Adrian and Councilwoman Broughton and the whole team that's helping put that series together to help me dig up as much as possible that we could find. But, I thought it was really interesting. I mean, imagine a day, in this era right now, in this generation we're in, that you would have somebody that represented the city as a mayor, as a state representative. And when they died, there'd be five words in the newspaper,
yeah,
just their age and how they died. It's kind of incredible when you think about that. And what a different time that was, and the first and only black mayor in the city of Pensacola. And of course, soon after he was the mayor and had, represented this community for a long time, we wouldn't see black representation like that for decades.
Right.
And so it was really, we talk about the history of the city of Pensacola and how it was such a melting pot of different cultures, different, not just skin color, but different, where the origins of what countries people had come from, whether it was Creole, black, white, everything. And so that really was symbolic, his being the mayor was really symbolic of the time. And so I really got to enjoy that, shake the rust off from an old journalist, it's kind of enjoyed getting to go through that process.
When you haven't done any professional writing in a while and then you do it, you remember, oh, this is fun and hard. Harder than I remember. Well, DC, we always like to end with a little bit of a lightning round. So here goes. First question for you. Okay. Does DC Reeves have a favorite board game?
Well, I would say right now with an 8-year-old, it's Uno. We've been playing a lot of Uno right now, and I get beat more than I'd like.
Do you play the crazy Uno with all the additional wild rules that is unofficial, or do you play like the standard, just basic Uno? Learn your colors and your numbers.
We're very traditional Uno players.
Okay.
I
will tell you, there's
don't like to break the tradition.
There's a crazy, insane version of Uno. That's all I can tell you about that. When you take eggs out of your egg carton, do you have a strategy of any kind at all?
No, because funny fact, I don't eat eggs. So,
what?
I know you guys keep making me sound like the pickiest eater, which I guess I am, no mustard, no salt and vinegar chips, no eggs. Yeah.
Okay.
I know, I'm a very carb loading breakfast eater.
All right. Fair enough. And then the last question is, when you put leftovers in the refrigerator, well, assuming that you do, what kind of containers do you use? Uh-huh. Tupperware, Rubbermaid, old sour cream container, wonton soup container. Do you have a preference?
Yeah, I use Tupperware, and then it stares at me for a few days and makes me feel guilty that, I'd convinced myself I was going to eat them, cook extra and eat them, and then I end up not eating them as much as I should. The square Tupperware is what I go.
All right, so you feel guilty about not throwing it out, and then you wait and don't eat it, and then you throw it out anyway, and then you felt guilty and you wasted space and time, right?
That's 100% exactly. I couldn't describe it better myself. That's
no
exactly
other human has
the
ever
process.
Done exactly that, except
yeah.
all of
I
us.
I like to chill my garbage, too.
DC Reeves is the mayor of Pensacola. City council meeting tomorrow night. Should be a fairly quick one. We'll look forward to talking to you next week, sir. Thank you so much for the time.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.
7:54 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The
The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Tune in today at 10:30 to the Pensacola Expert Panel when Juanita Scott and Kathy Van Dyke will be on the show talking about Pensacola State College's International Festival, a family-friendly inaugural event happening April 15th on the Pensacola campus. Enjoy food, music, dance, and novelties relevant to the cultures found around the world. Tune in today at 10:30 to hear more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
If you haven't been to Home Outlet, you're missing out on the best value on kitchens, baths, floors, and more. You could be saving big on your kitchen remodel with in-stock cabinets starting at $78 per linear foot and in-stock countertops starting at just $63. And with the guaranteed lowest price, you can be sure you're getting the best value for your project dollar. Visit us in-store or shop online for in-store pickup at homeoutlet.com.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
You can listen to News Radio Pensacola on the radio at 92.3, 95.3, or AM 1620. Online at newsradio923.com or on our mobile app.
Ha ha, you fool! You fell victim to one of the classic blunders. The most famous is never get involved in a land war in Asia.
Yeah. All right. I have apparently lost my ability to use a clock properly, so I'm off on everything. Candy's got traffic on the not fives.
It's not. Yeah. It ain't just the time.
There it is.
As we take a look. Here's the deal. It's the same as yesterday. 98 in Navarre, Windhaven Beach. That entire area again just backed up after two accidents near again Cash's. That's the landmark I give everybody because it's been there forever. Cash's 98 West Package Store, but it is eastbound. I know Cash is on the other side, and then there's another accident on the. Towards the Navarre Beach Causeway, and it's almost backed up to the Navarre Beach Causeway. So I don't know if that already tied up. Had something to do with that or not. That's near the Walmart Supercenter in Navarre. Looks like everything else is running smoothly. There is another accident on 29 and 95A, just like yesterday near Porky's Pizza, but it has been moved off to the side. Doesn't look like it's blocking anything. Somebody asked if I was getting free booze and pizza. I am not. Although, yeah, Mary would pay us that way if she could. I'm not lying. 437-1620 if you have traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
All right, David, tell them about what's going on in the newsroom, sir.
Picketing resuming this morning at Rutgers University campuses. The strike by 9,000 professors, adjuncts, and teaching assistants entering day three. Famous food storage company Tupperware says they're struggling. They've now hired advisors to turn things around. The Florida-based company says they're experiencing financial hardship. Their sales were down 20%.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. I didn't know there was they were a Florida-based company, Orlando vicinity, I think, if I remember correctly. It kind of just, you know, all the things when you don't live in Florida your whole life, you don't even know are from Florida, and then all of a sudden you don't, that's kind of interesting. All right, we will be back in just a few minutes, and trust me, we have more entertainment on the way. I'm Andrew McKay. Stick around.
Your home for Brian Kilmeade, weekdays 11 to 1, is News Radio 92.3, WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
Former contractor Jesse Lacoste was arrested again yesterday. We'll have that.